So we are holding on Yud Dalad Amud Aleph, a little less than halfway down the Amud. The line begins, Ulafuki. Okay, we were discussing like this. In our Mishnah, Rav Yossi had said that when it comes to the two chalas of the Lechem Afanim, of the Shtei Lechem, or the two sacks of bread, the Lechem Afanim, each one is its own independent thing, in the sense that if he were to, each, we have to realize that when it comes to Shtei Lechem, and when it comes to Lechem Afanim, you have two different breads or two different sacks of Lechem Afanim, you also have two different materim, in the sense that with the Shtei Lechem, you have the two sheets that are shefted along with it, which are matter the bread to be eaten. And when it comes to Lechem Afanim, you have the two spoonfuls of Levoin. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi had said that if during the shechita of the two kvasim, or during the burning of the two kvasim for the Shtei Lechem, or the burning of the two bazichim for the Lechem Afanim, he had in mind he's going to eat one of them tomorrow, so that one becomes tiggle, the other one not. The Chacham said either way, the Chacham said both of them are tiggle. So we started discussing. Rav Huna had brought a reason. Why would Rav Yossi say that? Why would he say that each challah stands for itself and each stack of Lechem Afanim stands for itself? Rav Yossi would say that any time you have two things that are physically distinct, even if originally they weren't, for example, two pieces of one carbon, a right thigh and a left thigh, he would say that it's possible to make one of them tiggle and not the other.
But you can't still both see each other to be able to have
all of them? No, but, yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Shtei Lechem, yeah, you have to have both chalas. When it comes, yeah, fine, but Rav Yossi is saying it's possible to have one of them be tiggle and the other one not. So Rav Huna is saying it's not
the both.
If you have, okay, what you can have is, you can have whether it's possible or you can have whether it's tiggle.
Right.
If we just said that they're possible, which Rav Yossi says, one of them is tiggle, the other one is possible, meaning one of them, supposing each then he'll be chayav kares, the other one, he'll be over on a lav, he'll get malchus. As opposed to the Chacham say both of them are tiggle. So now, Rav Huna is saying, the reason behind what Rav Yossi is saying, is he's saying that even when it comes to two pieces from one animal, you can have one of them be tiggle and the other one not. So all the more so when it comes to the two chalas, or the two sacks of Lechem Afanim, which were physically distinct to begin with. So we were discussing back and forth about that. In particular, we brought up Braisa in that connection that said that Olam ain't their kares, that never is their kares involving the Shtei Lechem, unless he has a thought of tiggle regarding a kazayas of both of them. So we were discussing who does that go to? Is it according to the Rabbanan, or is it according to the Yossi? On the face of it, according to the Huna, according to the Yossi, the two of them shouldn't be able to combine together. So we started discussing that may be according to Rebbe. And we were discussing, the last thing we said was that maybe Rebbe basically holds like the Chachamim, of our Mishnah, that even if he only had a sort of tiggle regarding one of them, both of them become tiggle. However, Rebbe's point is also, you have a machloekas later on, between the Chachamim and Reb Meir, whether the sort of tiggle needs to be during the entire matir, in this case, during the shechting of both kvasim, or during only one of them. Reb Meir holds you need both, and the Chachamim say that not. So Rebbe would be stressing that it would be enough. It could become tiggle if he has in mind during the shechting of only one of the kvasim. But then both chalas will become tiggle as the common set over here. Not that only one of them would become tiggle as the view.
So one source, one kazai would make both tiggle. Is that what we say?
That's what we're saying. That's what the common are saying, right? So again, we have the Chachamim in our Mishnah are both talking about the case where the Machshava was on both Kvasim. The Machshava was during the Shechita of both Kvasim. He only had Machshava on one Chala, so there's only that one Chala become Tiggle, or do both of them become Tiggle. Rebbe, according to the way we're explaining it now, is giving a new twist. In order for it to be tiggle, you would have to have that he had in mind the machshava during the shechita of both kvasim. I got it backwards now. Sorry, Meir. Rav Meir is the one who says, Mefaglin Baksima, that the thought during even the shita of one of the kvasim is enough to create table. For one or both, as the case may be, depending on Rav Yossi and Machachamim. Rebbe is saying that not like that. You need the machshava needs to be in both kvasim in order for anything to become table. Then we have. The Chachamim would say both of them become tigul, even if he only thought of one challah. And Rabbi Yossi would say you have to think of both challahs for both of them to become tigul. So again, Rebbe holds like the Chachamim of our Mishnah, that once he has a thought of tigul on one challah, then both of them become tigul. However, the point that Rebbe is making is don't think, like Rabbi Meir, that it's enough to have that machshava during the shechting of one of the sheep. No, he has to have it in mind during the shechita of both sheep, otherwise there's no tigul at all.
Rabbi Yossi said one challah, but he had it during the
shechita of both, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Yossi is saying...
Rabbi Yossi, in the Mishnah, is just mentioning shnei kvasim, implying that Rabbi Yossi also holds that four has to be doing two kvasim. But he's saying, or we don't know that for sure, but that's what it seems. But Rabbi Yossi is saying only the one challah that he had a thought about will become tigul, the other one won't. And the Chachamim will say both of them become tigul. The Machshava probably has to have in mind, the Chachamim didn't spell out in the Mishnah what they hold. So we would say that Rebbe is stressing that it had the Machshava has to be during both Kvasim. Other than that, he holds like a Chachamim. Okay. But we asked them that. We said that if that's the case, then why is the Braita using the expression la'olam, implying like there could be many possible hypothetical cases where it could be tigul, and Rebbe or the author of this Braita is saying there's only one possible case where it's tigul. Namely, we have the thought during both kvasim and the thought is on both challahs. But if you're saying that he holds that you can have a thought about one challah and both of them become tigul, why is he using the expression la'olam? That's where we're holding. The line begins a lot pokey, a little less than halfway down the onward. So for Oid, and another question we have, but remember, all of this is in order to work with Rav Huna's explanation of Rav Yossi. That Rav Huna had said that Rav Yossi would say that any two physically separate things, you have a thought of tigul on one doesn't affect the other one. Therefore, one challah, a thought of tigul on one challah doesn't affect the other, and he would say even if they were originally part of one animal, like two thighs from one animal. So we're saying, so number one, we have a problem with that because if we try to explain this braisa that I quoted before, according to Rebbe, then you have to figure out why he's using the word la'olam. But oid, and furthermore, ha'omer Rav Ashi, toshma, Rav Ashi said, come, I'll bring a proof from a braisa as follows. Rebbe oimer mishum Rav Yossi. Rebbe says, in the name of Rav Yossi, as din as follows. Now we have, this braisa that we're going to quote now has to do with the, it's talking about the chatoris atnimis, the five chatoris where the blood is sprinkled inside the heichol, inside the kodesh hakodashim, whatever. Now with each one of those korbanos, when you think about it, you have things that are done outside in the azara with that korban, and then you have things that are done inside the heichol with that korban. Inside the heichol, you have blood being sprinkled. Outside the heichol.
Inside the azara.
No, well, it is fine, but we're saying b'tnim versus b'chutz. We mean the azara versus the heichol. So when it comes to these various chatois, when it comes to these five chatois, you have avoidance of them that are being done outside in the azara, such as the shita of them, and later on the burning of the imurim of them, and so forth. And then you have the avoidance of them that are being done inside. Here, let me take this one. I've opened it for you for the place. We're in the middle of your Dalit Amidala.
Your
Dalit? Uh-huh. Yeah. So you have avoidance that are done inside the heichol, namely the sprinkling of the blood. So Rebbe discusses, in the name of Rebbe Yossi, which of those avoidance is he capable of making the korban tigul with and which not. Rebbe Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi. So Rebbe says in the name of Rabbi Yossi like this. Tigul b'davar hanasa b'chutz. If he tries to make tigul involving an avoda that takes place outside in the azara tigul, then what he did is indeed tigul, and the korban indeed becomes tigul. B'davar hanasa b'snim lo tigul. But if he tries to do it using something that's done inside the heichol, then he does not make it tigul. He's not giving over here the reasoning why. We actually had a machloekus in Vachim regarding we had Reb Shimon saying that the Chlal Tigel doesn't even apply. We had Reb Shimon saying that actually Tigel doesn't even apply to Chatzaris HaPnimiyos at all. He learned over there that Tigel applies only to Korbanos where all the avodas of them are done in the Azara. And the Chatzaris HaPnimiyos are not like that, because some of them are done in the Hesel. But Reb Yossi is not quite saying like that, however... The five Chatzaris HaPnimiyos, part of the avodah is done in the Hesel, namely the sprinkling. The rest of the avodas are done outside in the Azara. The shchita of them is still done in the Azara. Right. The Kabbalah, the Halacha, whatever, almost everything else of them is done in the Azara. The only thing that's done inside the Hechol is the sprinkling. So, Reb Shimon will say that Pigul does not, Bechlal does not apply to such Korbanah. Reb Yossi will say, whether the Chachamim over there will say that it does. Reb Yossi takes a bit of a middle ground, which he says it will apply to them, but only regarding the avodas that are done outside in the Azara. So Rebbe is quoting that in Rabbi Yossi's name. We're going to see. Take that. So what does that mean? Koya Oyed Bachos. Suppose the Koyen is the Koyen Gadol in this case. Let's say we're talking about the Korbanos of Yom Kippur. It's standing outside in the Azara for Omer, and he says, Harini Shechet Amanach Lahazet Midomel Amachar. I am shechting this Korban, having in mind that I'm going to sprinkle the blood of it tomorrow. Lloyd Tigel, says Rebbe, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that is not Tigel. Because there you have, he's standing there outside the Hechol and having in mind an avodah that he plans to do inside, that he plans to do it on the wrong day. Says Rabbi Yossi, that cannot make it tickle. On the other hand, if he's standing inside the Omer and he says, I am going to be sprinkling this blood, having in mind that I'm going to burn the emurim tomorrow, which is something that takes place b'chutz, the lishbech shirayim l'macher, or that I plan to fill the shirayim on the yisodim and the zeach tomorrow, in that case, loy pigel, so again, he didn't create pigel, shemach shava b'snim b'davar anas b'chutz, because there it's the other way around. He's thinking inside the heichol regarding something that takes place in the azar. So Rabbi Yossi is saying the only way to make pigul would be if the place where he's thinking of and the place where he's having the machshava and the place where the avoda that he's having in mind takes place are both the same place, the snim or b'chol. If one is out and one is in, then he says that not. So on the other hand, though, if he says, continues the Yossi, if he's standing outside of the Azara, but if he's standing outside of the Azara and saying, I am going to shech this animal, having in mind that I'm going to pour the shirayim on the Yisod tomorrow, or that I'm going to burn the emurim of it on the Zayach tomorrow, which are both things that take place b'chutz, tigel. Then he's created, then the korban is tigel. Shemach shava b'chutz, v'davar anasa b'chutz. Because there you have the machshava is outside, and the avoda that he's thinking about is also outside. So therefore, that combines together, and therefore that becomes tigul. Some of the avoda of these korbanos is these korbanos are shechted in the azara. You know what I mean? I mean, we learned the other day you can, and if necessary, you can shecht korbanos inside the heichal, but normally you don't. Normally you shecht all korbanos outside in the azara. And later on, when you're pouring the shirayim, there's no yisoid of the mezeach hapnimi. All shirayim are going to be poured on the mezeach hapisim. All emorim are going to be burnt on the mezeach hapisim. So even with those korbanos, where you have some of their avoda takes place in the heichol, but the rest of their avoda takes place b'chutz. Okay, so thus far the braisa. Well, so now that's the braisa. Now we have to see how that relates to our subject. We have to ask, lishbech shirayim leif guli mai. Now you're saying that he's talking about a case where he's shechting the korban, having in mind that he's going to pour out the shirayim tomorrow, and we're saying that becomes tigel because both the place where he has the machshava and the place where the avoda that he's thinking of is going to take place. Both of them are bechut. The question is, we have to ask, what is he making pigul by this? After all, pigul essentially means that if the korban is eaten, the person's going to be chayav kares for it. But here, what part of these korbanos are there that's eaten anyway? So we have to figure like this. Now we know these five korbanos are going to be taken, and they're going to be taken. The immunum of them are burnt on the mizbeach. The blood of them is sprinkled inside the heichal, and the rest of it is poured, the shiraim are poured on the yisoid, and then the whole rest of the animal is taken and burnt outside the machmeh. So nobody's eating any part of it. So we have to ask: Elamul is guli dam. Are we talking about that the relevance of saying that a figgle, and saying that if somebody eats from it, he's going to be chayav kares? You're going to say that the relevance of it is, as far as the dam, the question is, dam mi nisko? Dam b'chalal doesn't become pigul. V'hatnam, we learn in the Mishnah, we learn in the Zvachim. What? But blood, of course, is also, a person is chayav kares for eating blood anyway. The point is, Rashi says, you wouldn't say that if a person ate blood from a korban that became pigul, you wouldn't say that he's chayav twice, once for dam and once for pigul. You actually have a bit of discussion about that, because on the face of it, a isur chalal isur anyway, you anyway have, it's already osur as dam, what is the isur of figul adding? You have a few different choices, a choice that I think in Chrysos that talks about it, that says maybe the whole concept of a isur chalal isur doesn't apply within Kodshim. You have other answers as well, including that when it was osur as dam, fine, but it's still much of a sprinkle on the mizeah, as opposed to now as figul, you're not even allowed to do that. So therefore, in that sense, it's an isur moisif, and therefore it's an niyah. Okay, anyway, the point is, we don't say that if a person eats blood from a korban of pigul, he's going to be chayav for pigul as well as for blood, because of Hatsnan, because we learn in a Mishnah in Zvachim. Eilu dvarim she'en chayav an aleim shum pigul. The following things, your person is not chayav for eating them as pigul. Hakoymes, the koymes of the mincha, the halaboyna, and the levoyna of a mincha. Because those things, the reason is, because those two things, and the next few things that we're going to be listing, let's finish the list first. Akkoymet, balabonev, akkodas, the kodas that's brought every day in the mezekash. Minchas koinim, the mincha that's brought by a koin, which is completely burned on the mezeach. Or minchas mitzachim, the mincha that comes together with a korban, same thing. Or minchas koin mashiach, and the mincha that's brought every day by the koin mashiach, the minchas chavitim, which again is burnt completely on the mezeach. Bahadam, and the blood. All of those, some of the things in that Mishnah are themselves the matir. The dam, for example, itself is the matir of the korban. The matir itself is not subject to pigul. The matir itself is what a person can make the korban pigul, having in mind the machshava with it, having in mind that he's going to sprinkle the blood, chutzuzmane, for example, but the blood itself doesn't become also as pigul. So some of them are like that. The blood is like that. The koymus is like that, a couple of the others. Some of the other ones have no matir, because, for example, the minchas koyin, there's no matir for it. The entire thing is burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, you can't say that there's a matir and then there's the rest of it on like a regular person's mincha. Rashi, by the way, brings up the point. That, anyway, the point is that we see that dam is not subject to pigul. Rashi brings up... It can be the subject of pigul, but it can't be the object of pigul. Let's put it that way, right? Rashi, by the way, points out, Of course, if a person eats the koymet, then there's no issue of pigul. We learned at the end of the previous parak that the matir has to have been brought properly in order for the korban to become pigul. The koymet is the matir of the mincha. If a person eats it, then it wasn't offered on the mizbeach. There's nothing to talk about anyway. Rashi says you could be talking about a case. Let's say that koymet was placed on the mizbeach and caught on fire. So then it's considered it was already burnt. The mizbeach is now mutter. The mincha is now mutter. And now the person took it off the mizbeach and ate it. So there was already a matir. Nevertheless, though, we're saying because it is the matir itself, because it is the koymet, therefore he's not chayav for pigul. Chosefus has a problem with that, because in any case, once it's completely lit on fire, then the issue of pigul also goes away. Okay. Anyway, the point is that when Rabbi Yossi is talking about the case with these five chatoris of pnimius, that you have a situation where it becomes pigul. Obviously, he's not talking about that the blood is going to be pigul, because we say that blood is not the object of pigul. It can't become after as pigul. Elop shichel is guli boter. Obviously, this whole discussion that Rav Yossi is saying about the chatoris apnimius becoming pigul, he must be talking about, the question is, does the meat become pigul? If a person were to eat the meat of it, would it be chayav kares for pigul? Now, the problem is, hasher umaha. Now, so the question is like this. Well, it's not normally eaten. It's meant to be burnt, but fine. It still is something edible. But the question is like this. Hasher umaha. Now, let's think like this. Let's make a kavachoma like this. The person's not having, the kohen's not having in mind anything about the boser itself. He's having in mind about the emurim, or about the dam, about the shirayim, and nevertheless, Amr of Yossi misko, and yet Rav Yossi says that the kohen becomes tivul, even though he wasn't thinking about the meat itself, the meat still becomes tivul. Acha. Well, then in our case over here, when we're talking about, when we go back to Rav Huna's original statement over there, that he has in mind a sort of tigel about one leg of the animal that Rav Huna is saying, according to Rav Yossi, the other leg wouldn't become tigel. Why not? He always thought about the actual meat of the korban itself. Like Hoshkin, how much more so that it'll become tigel. So we can't accept. So first of all, we have the problem with the braisa quoted before, the braisa la'olam ein bekardes, where we have to say, after all, that it goes according to the Yossi, not according to the Rebbe, and that's one reason to ask on Rav Huna, because you see over there that he's able to have in mind a half kezayis of one challah, a half kezayis of the other challah, and they'll combine, even though they're two separate gufim. So therefore, we can't say like Rav Huna that Rav Yossi would say two separate gufim don't combine. And now, on top of that, we have this braisa that Rav Yossi himself was saying, where apparently we're talking about the meat becoming tigel, even though he didn't have in mind the meat at all. How much more so? One piece of meat versus another piece of meat. So we're left with, how do we... Here we're saying he had in mind that he's going to sprint, that he's going to do pour the shirayim of the blood, or he's going to burn the emurim tomorrow. Neither of them are the actual meat of the korban, and we're still saying Rav Yossi says the meat can become tigel. So just because you didn't have in mind a particular piece of meat doesn't mean that particular piece can't become tigel. That's the problem on Rav Huna. Rav Huna was saying that unless you have in mind on a particular piece of the animal, it's not going to become tigel. And here we say that yes. So therefore, here, when he's having in mind the korban itself, how much more so that we should say that Rav Yossi says that if you had a thought of tigel regarding the right leg, then it should also cause the left leg to become tigel, not like Rav Huna. And then on top of that, we have another question on Rav Huna. Ha'omer Ravina, Ravina says, here's also Toshma, here we'll bring a proof from another case. We said at the beginning of our parak, the first Mishnah of our parak, we said, HaKremetz is a mincha lechol shiareh o lahak yukum tzolomach. So if he takes the Kremetz from the mincha, having in mind that he's going to eat the shirayim, or he's going to burn the Kremetz tomorrow, we said, Merjit of Yossi Dezur Shetigol v'chayav nalakaris, where Yossi would agree that in that case, Tigol, and he's chayav karis, because as we said at the beginning of the Gemara, it's not Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi agrees you don't have to have in mind the koimus and the lavona. It's enough to just have the koimus in mind, and that's already enough to make it. And that's already enough to make it tickle. So again, we have to ask. La'achter kumtel is gulei mai. Again, you have to ask when we're talking about offering the koimus on the mizeh, where he has in mind to offer the koimus kutzlus mano, and you're telling me that becomes tickle. Again, we have to figure out what is going to become tickle as a result of that machshava. Which part of the mincha? Are you going to say that he means that he's going to, that the result of that machshava of his is going to be that the koimus becomes tigel? Again, koimus mi yisgo, vatna, and again, we have the Mishnah before, elud varam shein chayavan alam shim tigel, ha koimus kola. The koimus itself cannot be tigel because it itself is a matter. So obviously, what? That's the point. He's not Chayav Karis. Even though he had in mind that he's going to burn the Kremis tomorrow, if he winds up eating the Kremis instead, or not instead, as Rashi says, the Kremis was placed on the Mizeach and burnt, and then he took it off the Mizeach and ate it, he wouldn't be Chayav Karis because it's the Kremis. It itself is the Matir, and the Matir can't be Tigel. Or the Matir can only create Tigel. It cannot be Tigel. Right, exactly. Because we said only what becomes mutter through the master can become tigel. Yeah. So you have two different things. You have the master and you have the nisser. The master is what a machshava involving the master is capable of making it tigel. Well, let's put it this way: a machshava involving achila is capable of making it tigel. That can either be achilas adam or achilas mizeach. So yeah, the person can have in mind the meat. And the person can have in mind the meat that he's going to eat it chutz l'zmanos, and that makes that same meat itself tigel. But here we're talking about the same way as we were talking about before, where you have a machshava involving the dam, which makes the boster tigel, the same way we're talking about over here, a machshava with the kremit that makes the shirayim tigel. But we're saying, you can't say that he has a thought about the dam that makes the dam itself tigel, because dam is not something that's also a tigel, and similarly, he can't have a thought about the kremit that makes the kremit tigel, same reason. Because the kremit itself is the matter. So therefore, elef shikil if gul shirayim. Obviously, when Rav Yossi agrees in our Mishnah that in that case we're saying the mincha is tigul, he must mean the shirayim are tigul. The person would eat from the shirayim eating tzayis kohen. Well, then again, let's figure out hashta. Again, let's figure out logically. Uma hotam the lechashavul the shirayim say madach in the case of our Mishnah, he's not actually thinking about the shirayim themselves. He's thinking rather about the kohenet, and yet mikfagi, and yet the shirayim become tigul, even though he didn't think about them themselves. Acha, over here, the chashibu is zichad gufa. Here he thought about some part of the meat itself during the shita. Loi koshkin, how much more so that the other leg should become tigul also. But based on all these proofs, we cannot accept what Rav Huna is saying as the explanation for what Rav Yossi is saying. Rav Huna had explained Rav Yossi to be saying, anytime you have two things that are physically separate, then a thought of tigel on one can't be mafagel the other one. Therefore, he would say that when he shechted the two kvasim, having in mind that he can eat one of the chalos of the shteilechem, chutz l'zmana, only that one will be tigel and the other not. Rav Huna is saying the reason is because the two chalos are separate. But based on, and similar to the two stacks of lachem upon him, based on everything we just said, we can't say that. We clearly, Rav Yossi has no problem with if the things are physically separate, as long as he had in mind about that type of thing. For example, he had in mind even he has in mind the kremes, and it makes the shirayim tigel, for example, how much more so he has in mind one part of the meat. It would make the other part of the meat tigel. So that's the thing. We have Rav Yossi's opinion in our Mishnah that if he has in mind to eat one of the chalas tomorrow, then the other one does not become tigul. But it can't be based on what Rav Huna is saying because they're two physically separate things. Because we see that, for example, the kremes and the shirayim, or the blood and the meat, are also two separate things. And yet Rav Yossi has no problem saying that a machshava of tigul on one makes the other one tigul. So that's the thing. So we can't accept what Rav Huna is saying. Ela, Amr Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan. No, Rav Yochanan says, no, rather, I'll explain to you. Here's Rav Yochanan's reason. It's not a general thing that Rav Yochanan says regarding Kodshim, that physically separate things like Rav Huna is saying. Rather, Rav Yochanan's opinion is specific to the Shtei Alachan and to the Lachan Apot. On the one hand, the Pasuk treats them as one big entity. On the other hand, the Pasuk also makes them two separate entities. So what does that mean? Rashi explains like this. They're one entity in the sense that you need both of them. You can't have one lechem, you need shtei lechem. You can't have one stack of lechem upon and you need both stacks, 12 lechem upon. So in that sense, they're gufa. On the other hand, The pasuk also refers to them as shtayim. The lachan aponim is called shtayim shnei esrim. And in fact, later on, when we learn later on in our masechta and the sabbiks, when we learn about the dinim of the shteilach, and it mentions over there based on sukkim, that you actually have to have each one has to be kneaded and baked separately. Even though you have the shteilach, you shouldn't think that you just fix up one big batch of dough and then make two chalos out of it, break into two pieces, shape them into two chalos and bake them. No, they have to be done individually. They have to be kneaded separately and baked separately. So therefore, in that sense, then they're like one goof because they're ma'akin each other. On the other hand, they're like two goofim because they have to be baked and then made separately. Tosfos says a little bit different. The reason why we say guf echad and shnei gufim is not based on the way that they're made, but just the fact that you have one pasuk that calls them lechem tnufa, bread of waving, implying it's all one big thing. And on the other hand, it's called shtayim, shnei esrayim, it's called two. So it's not just a matter of that they're made individually, but then they're interdependent. It's a matter of the pasuk itself refers to them sometimes as one entity and other times as two things. The point being, therefore, so that's guf echad de ma'akti hadadi. They're one guf in the sense that one of them is ma'akti the other. later on, in the third and fourth parak, we're going to start talking about different things in halacha where we have some things that are ma'akid each other and some things that are not. For example, the shtei alechem, one example where they're ma'akid each other. If you only have enough wheat for one loaf of bread, nothing happens. You don't bring the korban at all. You don't say, well, half is better than none. The dalad minim on sukkah, so another example. You don't say, if you're missing an esrog, you bring the other three minim. On the other hand, we know that there are mitzvahs where one is not ma'akid as the other. For example, tefillin. You only have tefillin shoyad. That's all you put on. So that's what we're going to discuss later. Yes. You go to the mitzvah of tefillin shoyad. Yes. That's what we're going to discuss. We're going to start discussing from the middle of the third parak and into the middle of the fourth parak. That's fine, but they're two separate mitzvahs. So we're going to get here. By way of Menachos, we're going to get into from the middle of the third parak until the middle of the fourth parak. We're going to have a long digression about different mitzvahs that are and aren't different things with different mitzvahs where one part is and isn't back of the other one, and that's where we'll also get into the halachas of tefillin and mezuzahs and sefer Torah and whatever. Yeah. And this is, anyway, the point is, so over here also, the guf echad in the sense of ma'akhi adjadi, one is ma'akhi of the other. On the other hand, shnei gufin, the omer achmon, a holochoda avida, a holochoda avida. Because the Torah says, but a shnei alechem, you have to make them separately.
Because
the Torah says they're ma'akid each other. If you only have enough wheat for one bread, then that's it. You don't make both. You just don't bring the carbon. So therefore, we can say like this. So therefore, Rav Yossi can say like this. Arzinhu, so therefore, if he had in mind in his machshava where he's thinking of both of them as one entity, where he has in mind that he's going to eat a kezayis from the two loaves combined, Miss Arvin, then it's considered they're combined together into one. That costs about seven gufachas. Then we apply what we say that's considered one entity. Halginu, on the other hand, if he has in mind that only one versus the other, as the case in our Mishnah, where he had in mind that he's going to eat only from one of them tomorrow, then Rav Yossi is going to say Mifligi, Mifalgi, whatever. Then they're considered separate. That costs about seven shnei gufin, because the pasuk also considers them two things. So that's how we can reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa La'olah. The Mishnah is talking about he only had in mind he's going to eat from one of them, the Malchus. Therefore, says Rav Yossi, that's where the part that's considered two separate entities applies. Therefore, only that one becomes Tigul, the other one not. And the Lachan HaPanim will learn from the Shtela. And on the other hand, the case in the Braisa where he had in mind that he's going to eat a Kezayis from the Shtei Halachim collectively, meaning part from one and part from the other, well, there he's treating them in his mind as one big entity. New, the Pasuk also sometimes treats them as one entity. Therefore, that can work. That can make them big. That's the point. Nevertheless, you see that you have, in a certain sense, they're considered one entity. Yeah. No, so that's what we're saying according to Rav Yossi. That's what we're explaining now, what Rav Yossi is saying. The Chachamim are saying we never treat them as two entities. Well, I shouldn't say never. In the next Mishnah, we're going to have a case where the Chachamim say we treat them as two entities, as far as Truma. That's for a different reason. But so far, as far as Tigul, the Chachamim are saying no such thing. Well, one of them becomes Tigul, both of them become Tigul. Okay. So now Rav Yechanan asks the question like this. Now that we establish, so point.
Is the same way also or
not? Well, that's what we're saying. The Chachamim would say we consider them one entity.
Always.
Therefore, except for Troma, as we'll see later. Therefore, so they are, it is true they have to be baked separately. Nobody disagrees with that, fine. But nevertheless, as far as the Dinim of Tigul, they're considered one big thing.
And the
Dinim of Ma'asav also. One is not after the other one.
Sorry,
one. Yeah. Okay. If he has in mind that he's gonna, during the Shechita of the Kvasim that he's going to eat from one of them tomorrow, the Chachamim will say both of them are Tigul. If a person eats from either one of them, even the one that he didn't think about, he's going to be high part. Yeah. Okay. So now, Rav Yechanan asks the question. What about if a person were to have a thought of Tigul regarding the bread that comes with the Toida? Now, when it comes with the Toida, again, you have multiple loaves of bread. You have 40, you have four types. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, the details, and the ayins. But you have four types of bread that come with the Toida. One type is Chometz. The other three are various types of Masa. Each one of them is made up of 10 loaves. So there also you have that, they're all brought together with the carbon. On the other hand, they're a little bit different than the shtei alechem or the lechem afanim in that they're different types of bread. The shtei alechem are both the same thing. They're both the same shape and both the same, they're both made out of soilus, etc. Same thing with the lachon aponim. There are 12 identical loaves. Here you have 10 loaves of one type, 10 loaves of another type, 10 loaves of a third type, etc. So the Yerushalman is asking, pigul balach may toida mahu. So what would be the din if he has a thought of pigul regarding the bread involving with the toida? So Rashi explains that the question is regarding Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, who says in our Mishnah on the other hand, when it comes to the toga, you have something, on the one hand, they're different because they're four different loaves of bread, four different types of loaves. On the other hand, you have an opposite difference between them and the she'alefem and the lachem aponim, namely that you only have one matzah for them. The lachem toga come together with one animal for a korban, as opposed to the she'alefem come with two sheep, and the lachem aponim come with two bezichim. So now you have the question. The she'alefem come with two sheep. So you have two matirim, and then you have two loaves of bread. The lachem aponim is two stacks that come with two bezichim, that come with two spoonfuls of levain. Here you have four different. That's right. Each spoonful of the half of the matir, right? As opposed to over here, you have one matir, the toda itself, and you have four different types of bread. So is Rabbi Yossi going to be saying, similar to in our Mishnah, that he's going to say that each one is something separate, and therefore a thought of pigle on one type doesn't fagle the other one? Or maybe not, since there's only one carbon as opposed to an emission, where there's two with one matir, as opposed to an emission, where there's two matirim. The Rambam actually brings this question as a matter, brings this issue and the answer to it as a matter of halacha, which means evidently the Rambam understands the question isn't only according to Rabbi Yossi, the question would be according to the Chachamim also. The Chachamim who say in our Mishnah that he has a thought of tiggle about one of the chalas, then it affects the other one as well. Fine, but there, at least both the chalas are made the same way. Here you have four different types of bread, so maybe even the Chachamim would agree that they're considered separate things. Okay.
The way they're made.
One, 10 of them are made as chomet. The other 30 are matzah, but you have three different types of matzah. Chalas, thick ones, rikikin, thin ones, and revucha, ones that are scalded with the flour is scalded with boiling water and then break. No, that's in the toga, in the lachmei toga. In the lachmei toga. By the way, Tosfos points out that Gemara could ask the same question about the bread that comes with a nazir korbanos. There also, you have two different types of bread, the chalas and the kikin, that come with his korbanos. Okay, anyway. So what would be the din? And also, the minchas matzah now. Also, we have to ask the question, what about if he had a thought of tigel regarding a baked mincha? Now, Rashi says that the question over here regarding a baked mincha is like this. Again, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. First, in the first couple of Pesachim of our Masechta, we're dealing with various sulin with a mincha. Just like in Zrachim, we dealt first with the various sulin, and then beginning with the fifth Perek, we started talking about the actual procedures, how you bring a korban. Our Masechta is similar. We deal with the various sulin in the first couple of Pesachim, and then we start dealing with the actual procedures, how is each type of mincha made. I guess you could say that. I've often thought, and I think I've mentioned before. Originally, after all, we know. I mean, the Torah Shabbat Peh was Baal Peh. It wasn't written down. Eventually, they had to start writing it down to people, so that the people shouldn't forget. Well, and before they wrote it down, they arranged the Mishnayot in Baal Peh in order that people should remember them. So perhaps it's possible they started by formalizing in a formal lashon the dinim that are less obvious, that people might be more prone to forget. And later on, eventually, they realize they have to actually formalize the wording also of the ones that are the actual normal procedure of how to do things. So that may explain why in many masechtas you start kind of with the unusual cases and then eventually move to the more usual ones. I don't know, that's a theory of mine. I don't know. Anyway. The point is that only later in the Masechta, beginning with the fifth Perek, are we going to be dealing with the actual procedures of how each kind of mincha is made. Now, when it comes to one type of mincha that a person can bring, it's called minchas matzeh tana, or mincha that's baked in an oven. And within that, you have two possible types. You have chalos, which are thick matzah, and you have rikikin, which are wafer-like thin matzah. We have a machlokes over there between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon. When a person says, I'm going to bring a minchas matzeh tanur, does it have to be all of one kind, or can it be a mix? The Chachamim over there say it has to be all of one kind, either 10 chalas or 10 rikikin. There's no mixing and matching. Reb Shimon says you can mix and match. You can bring half of one kind and half of another. So Rashi says the question over here, when we say about Minchas Maaseh, is a similar kind of thing. If a person does that, or a person brings five chalas and five recipients, then the Kohen, when he's doing one of the four avodas of it, has in mind to eat one of those sets of five tomorrow. Does it make the other one kigul as well? Again, we could argue maybe yes, because they're all part of one korban and they all have one maaser. On the other hand, they all have one kohenet. On the other hand, maybe not, because they're two different types, sick versus sin.
That's
so it's similar to the case. Exactly, it's similar to the case about the lach metoda, where which is four different types. Here it's two different types. Yeah. Okay. So, Rabbi Yochanan asked the question, the Tachlifa from Ma'arava, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, taught him a braita. Yes, the Chena to Omer B'lach Metoda, the Chena to Omer B'minchas Maaseh. Yes, the same rules apply as far as those two cases. Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim will disagree on those cases as well.
For the same reason, yes.
Even though, on the one hand, they're separate types, but on the other hand, they only have one master, yes, the Yossi will still say if one becomes figgul, the other one not, and the Chachamim will say if one of them becomes figgul, then all. Okay. Tanarabam. We learn in a braisa like this. Bishas shchita. Now, if it comes to a time of shchita, chishiv lecho chafizayis, if he had in mind during the shchita that he's going to eat a half a chafizayis of the korban chutzlut mana, beyond the proper time, then later on during the zrika he also had in mind about another half of the diet that he's going to eat it, tigel. Then those two combine together and the korban becomes tigel. Because those two are both, shchita and zrika, are able to combine together. Rashi points out over here that actually the reason why we say specifically shchita and zrika, the Gemara is now going to discuss soon whether it applies to all the avodas or only to shchita and zrika. The reason why it's specifically to put shchita and zrika together, Rashi says, is because those two things are the avodas that make the blood kodesh, that give it its kedusha. The shchita is done with a knife, which is a kli sharet, that makes the blood kodesh. Which actually we learned in Mizrachim, it's not so simple, because maybe you can do the shchita even with some nathmatic sharis. We had a whole discussion about that over there, but Rashi over here learns that the shchita is done with a knife, which is a kli sharis, and makes the blood kodesh, and the zrika makes meat, mutter to eat. So therefore, those two have a connection between them. The ikadamri, so one version of explaining that braisa is shchita zrika to tavayu matirin ein, that would only apply to shchita and to zrika specifically, because those two are both avodas that make something mutter. The shchita makes the blood mutter to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. It makes it kodesh, so that now it's able to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. The zrika makes the meat mutter to be eaten, but Kabbalah, v'halacha loy, but according to that version, the Kabbalah and halacha, even though they're among the four avodas, they're not anything that's matir, so therefore, a half kezayis from one and a half kezayis from the other one wouldn't combine together, according to that first version. Because shchita and zrika are both things that help the matir some part of the korban, whereas halacha and Kabbalah and halacha don't. Kabbalah and halacha are necessary. They're necessary prerequisites, but in and of themselves, they don't cause any heter that you didn't already have before. So that's one version. The ikadami, another way of explaining the braisa is no, on the contrary. On the contrary, the reason why the braisa mentions shchita and zrika, meaning even those two avodas, which are very far apart in time, one is the first avoda, one is the fourth avoda, even those combined, but choshekin hani the mekayvam. So we would say how much more so Kabbalah and halacha, which are right. But because the fact of the matter is, from when you do the shchita, in between you have to do the Kabbalah, then the halacha, and then zrika comes last. So we're not talking about there's a long time between them, but the fact is you have many avodas between them. So according to the second version, Adarabba, even shchita and zrika combined together, if you had in mind a half desire doing one and a half desire doing the other one, how much more so if you had in mind during adjacent avodah, then it would combine.
If they combine, even
when they're far apart, how much more so when they're close together, right? Okay. The Gemara says, hey, is that so? So you're telling me that you have so you have these two different discussions. You have these two different possibilities, whether it's only shchita and zrita that combine together, or whether it's all of them. But and you have one way of thinking of it as it's all of them. The hatani lady or the chal. The question would be the ground both. Lady teaches a brisa which contradicts the previous one. Arba avodas ein mitzarfes lepikol shchita or zrita kabbalah v'halacha. Lady says that the four avodas do not combine together as kofigel. If he had the pashtus, it means if he had in mind a half kazayitu in one avoda and a half kazayitu in the other avoda, they wouldn't combine. So that contradicts, not only that contradicts the previous braisa, it contradicts both understandings of the previous braisa. Neither if the avodas are far apart but they're both master, or if they're close together, Lady is saying all the machshava of kofigel have to be within one avoda. Amar Rava, Lekasha HaRebi HaRabah. So the other says it's not a contradiction. One braisa is according to Rebbe, the other one is according to the Rabban. Namely, the Tanya, because we learn in another braisa that there is a machloikas on such a subject. So now let's talk about another possible case involving the shtei kvasim and the shtei alechem of Shavuot. Before we were talking about he has in mind a machshava during the shchita of both of them regarding one challah, or vice versa, he has in mind a machshava during the shchita of one of them regarding both challahs. How about if he has in mind one during one and the other during the other? Hashoychet ha-sakeves lecho ha-tizayis mechalazu. He shechs the first sheep, having in mind that he's going to eat a half tizayis from the one challah, chutzuz manay. V'chein chaveri lecho ha-tizayis mechalazu. And then he shechs the other one, having in mind that he's going to eat a half tizayis of the other challah. Rebbe Omer, the Rebbe says Omer Anish is a kosher. The Rebbe says I say that is kosher, that those two don't combine. So then, in that case, that would be the braisa that Levi quoted would be according to that, because they were saying it's two different shchitas, therefore they wouldn't combine. And the same way Levi is saying shchita and Kabbalah, for example, wouldn't combine, as opposed to the first braisa that is quoted, Tanan Rabbanan, would be according to the Chacham. Mind you, in this thing that Robert just quoted, you actually don't have anything explicitly saying that the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe. But on the other hand, you can argue the fact that Rebbe has to say, Omer Ani, I say that it's kosher, implies that there's another opinion that disagrees with him. Okay. Omer Abaya, but Abaya says, wait a minute, that's not the same thing. Omer Deshamach Le Rebbe Chatsi Matir V'Chatsi Achila. Yes, but you can say, you know when you say that Rebbe is saying that it doesn't work, when you have, he's having in mind during half of the matir, and he's having in mind only half of the achila, because he's having in mind the chatzi zayis during the shchita of only one of the kvasim, and the two kvasim together are the combined matir. So that's one thing, as opposed to the case that we were talking about before involved four avodas, kulei matir v'chatzi achila mishamat lei. Who says that Rebbe would say the same thing when it comes to the entire matir, one entire avoda? One, the shchita of one korban, for example, which by itself makes that korban, which is itself is a stage in making that korban mutter, and a half of achila, maybe Rebbe would say differently. Amalei Rava Bar Rav Chanan La'abaya. So Rava Bar Rav Chanan says to Abaya like this. Okay, let's say for example that yes. Let's assume that we'll accept what you're going to say. Rebbe would distinguish, and Rebbe would say that if you have a case where there's the entire matir and half of the achila, Rebbe would say that that's kosher. Fine, but if that's the case, the e isle the Rebbe kule matir v'chatzi achila. If you're going to argue that Rebbe would say like in the first braisa, that if he had in mind a half to eat half of his ayah doing one whole matir, and then a half of his ayah doing another whole matir, you're saying that Rebbe would say they would combine. In that case, ligzer chasi matir v'chasi achiva, also kulei matir v'chasi achiva. Then you would have to say, on the face of it, Rebbe ought to make a gzera, that midrabbanon should be possible, even if he had in mind doing half of the matir, the shechting of one of the kvasim, that he's going to do a half achila, because that could too easily be confused with the case where he has in mind doing the whole matir. It's very easy, but if people see that if he has in mind, or he himself sees, that he has in mind doing the shechita of one of the kvasim, and that's not enough, and we're saying that's only half the matir, and Rebbe would say that's not enough to make a tickle, fine, but that's too easily confused with the case where there was only one tevet, where there was only one sheep that's going to be matir a whole thing. Like, for example, a regular korban or the bread involving a todah or whatever. So Rebbe should make a gzeira because one might be confused with the other. And if that's the case, we would still be left with that Rebbe would say that 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 Rebbe would say that in both cases, the Korah is totally fine. In one case, it becomes Tigul B'Araisa, and in the other one, Potol B'Rabbanon, let's say, but either way, it would be no good. So therefore we have justification in, therefore Rava has justification in saying before. Since we see that Rebbe doesn't do that, evidently Rebbe doesn't make such a gzera, evidently Rebbe must agree with Levi's Braisa. So then Rava is right. We have a machlokes of Rebbe and that's coming. Now continues Rava Barakon and what Rebbe would hold that there is a existence of gzera. I mean, in Rebbe's time, the Bet Mishnah was already destroyed. There wouldn't be a point in making gzera at that point, meaning that Rebbe would hold that a gzera to that effect was made when the Bet Mishnah was still standing. Yeah. And what makes us say that Rebbe would make such a gzera? The heart of Yerisi goes over Rabbanan Gazri, because we see in similar cases, we see that Rabbi Yerisi holds a such a gzera, and we also see that the Rabbanan, who will argue with Rabbi Yerisi, holds of a similar gzera.
They're also after the
Korban, indeed. Yeah. So not in exactly the same case, but in a similar case, we see where one thing can be confused with the other, and we see that even in a case where it's not Tigul D'Araisa, in one case Rabbi Yosi is going to say, and in a different case the Chalma is going to say, we still consider it Potol D'Rabbanan. Namely, what are those cases? Rabbi Yosi, Gozar, Dishnan, because we learned in our Mishnah, Lahakil of Enosel Mocher, that if he had in mind during the Knitsa that he planned to burn the Lavoina of the Mincha tomorrow, Rabbi Yosi, an apostle of Enbe Kodesh, Rabbi Yosi had said the korban is only possible, but it's not tigul, so there's no korban. V'chayav v'chamam tigul v'chayav nela. Because we ended up saying the reason was because the levoina and the korban are not completely interdependent in the sense you need both of them to be master of the mincha, but you can offer them in either order that you want. So therefore, in that sense, it's not like dam and emurim where you have to do the dam before you do the emurim. Right? But and the point is, Rabbi Yosi does say that it's possible, implying only possible that I bought him. Now, why would Rabbi Yosi say it's possible in that case? Presumably because of a gzera de rabbanan. Because if you allow him to eat it in that case, you might easily confuse it with the case where he had in mind during the kmitza that he's going to burn the kmitz tomorrow, which would definitely make it clear. So we see that Rabbi Yosi makes such gzeras, and the rabbanan nami dazu, and we see that rabbanan makes similar gzeras as well. That's nam because we learn later on in our text. If he had in mind a thought of Tigul only regarding the Klemeth but not regarding the Levoina, or the Levoina below the Klemeth, if he had in mind only regarding the Levoina but not regarding the Klemeth, the mayor and a Tigul v'chayav and alakaris, the mayor says Tigul because, in Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim Machlokes, we were talking about that he has in mind what he's going to do with the Klemeth, or what he's going to do with the Levoina, that he's going to burn the Klemeth, or he's going to burn the Levoina tomorrow. In Rav Meir and the Chachamim, we're talking about what he has in mind during the actual avoda involving that thing. He has in mind during the Knitsa, or during the placing of the Levoina in the Klisha. The point is, in other words, it's two different cases. One is where he has in mind what he's going to do with one part of the master versus the other. The other is he has in mind during one half of the avoda of the master versus the other. Remember, you need both the claimants and the levina are both the master. So the mayor and a pigul v'chayav and alakaris. So the mayor says it will be pigul and kares will apply to it. Because he holds the Faglan Mahsi Masir, he holds that it's possible to create Tigul with a Machshava during only half of the Masir. So in this case, he's able to create Tigul only during the Knitsa, before he did anything with the Levina. Bacham said there's no Kharis unless he creates Tigul using the entire Masir, implying therefore that Chachamim would say it is possible, and apparently that means that they would make the Tzedek. They would make such a gzera. Right. So we see that Meir holds a such a gzera, and not Meir, Rabbi Yosi holds a such a gzera in one case. We see the Chachamim hold a such a gzera in another case. So the question would be, why would Rebbe not hold a such a thing? In fact, it actually brings that we learned on Omar Alice, that Rebbe actually says in a case like that, where he had in mind only during the Komet, but not during the Levoina, Rebbe actually said that it's kosher altogether. So therefore no gzera. So why not? On the lay, Abaya answers him, Hachi Hashta. How are you thinking to compare these various cases? this Shlemachosam, I can understand there's a good reason why Rabbi Yossi makes a Gzeira in his case involving booning the Lavona versus booning the Koimet, because Koimet's the Lavona, also Koimet's the Mincha. Because sure, you could easily confuse. If you say the Koimet is Mutter, if you say he's allowed to eat the Shirayim, when he had in mind during the Knesset that he's going to burn the Lavona tomorrow, that's too easily confused where he has in mind during the Knesset that he's going to burn the Koimet tomorrow. So fine, Rabbi Yossi has a reason to make such a Gzeira. Similarly, Rabbanan, Gazu Koimet, Otu Koimet, Mincha Koite, the Rabbanan will say, I'm going to make a Gzeira regarding having in mind during the Knesset instead, and not, even though the Lavona is not involved, they're going to say because it's too easily confused with the Minchas Koseh, where the Knesset itself is the entire Masseh. There's no Lavona there. So therefore, there's no other half of the Masseh. So it's easily confused. If you allow him to eat from the Mincha in that case, where he had in mind during the Knesset, and you're going to tell me it's Mutter because he didn't have in mind also during the collection of the Lavona, then people are going to think he could do the same thing with a Minchas Koseh. And a Minchas Koseh would be Tizul if he has in mind during the Knesset, because there's no other Masseh. And a Mincha Koite, exactly. And Uluv, yeah, but still, Mincha is a Mincha. Uluv Voina, Otu Lavoina, Habab of Azichi. You could also say that Chacham makes a Gzeira if he had in mind only as far as only doing the Lavoina, because that could be confused with the case of the Lavoina in the Bazichin and the spoons that are on the Shulchan. There's no Mincha over there. The Lakan HaKonim itself is a Mincha. The only thing that's offered on the Mizbeach over there is the Lavoina. So again, there's reason to get confused. Fine, but still, fine. But it's similar enough that there could be confusion. And furthermore, you could say keves kvasim nami keves otu keves kaveri. Fine, you could say also the chachamim when the chachamim said in our mishnah that if he shechted one of the sheep, having in mind that he's going to eat the two challahs tomorrow. So the Chachamim said, it's posel, not sigil. Again, you could say the same thing. Keves otu keves kaveri. Same thing, because if you allow him, if he had a machshava during one keves, he might end up having a machshava during both of them, and then it would make a sigil daraisa. So therefore, that would make a sigil. Bozach otu bozach kaveri. And similarly, if you had in mind during one of the positions, you're going to say that you might end up having in mind during both of the positions, same problem. So in all those cases, there's logical reason to say that there should be a sigil. Ella Acha, but you're talking about Rebbe's case over here. In the Braisa before, we were talking about the two Kvasim and the two Chalas, where there's two Masirim and two Nitarim. So you have to ask. Ni Iker Hasi Masir Hasi Achila Da'alma. Do you have any other case where you have a half a Masir and a half an eating in other cases, the local Malibs or Hasi, that you should need to make a Zera? Yes, there are many types of Menachas. There are many types that you have. Korbanos that have one Masir versus two, but you don't really have another case where you have two Masirim and two separate Achilas. So you, Rav Bar Yochanan, are telling me that Rebbe ought to have made a Gzeira, and the fact that he doesn't imply that he agrees with Levi that one Avoda doesn't combine with another Avoda as far as Tegel, not necessarily. He might say there's no reason to make a Gzeira over here, there's nothing to be confused about. In a Kriya. And in fact, the Gemara continues, Hochinami Nisabir at the time of the Rabbanon Mishum Hochihu. Yeah, in fact, it seems to be logical to say that the reason for the Rabbanon, why they're saying that in some cases it's Tigul and in other cases they're saying it's Possel, must be based on that idea, because they're concerned about people getting mixed up and therefore they're making it there. Because on safer, because the continuation of that Mishnah says, Mojim Chachamim are a mayor of a Minchas Kote or a Minchas Knoz. The Chachamim do agree with the mayor when it comes to a Minchas Kote, where again there's no Lavoina. And Minchas Knoz, the Mincha of a Sota, same thing, there's no Shein Pigul Bakoimet, that if he's had a thought of Pigul regarding the Koimet, Shein Pigul Bakayovan Alea Kores, that then it would be Tigul, Midar Raisa, and Yichai Kores, Shah Koimet, who are Masid, because the Koimet itself is a Masid, there's no other Masid, there's no Lavoina. We have to ask, so why does the Mishnah have to mention that point? I mean, it's obvious. We know what a Minchas Kote is. We know what a Minchas Knoz is. We know they don't have any Lavoina. We know for a fact there's no other Masir. Why should the Chachamim have to spell that out in the Mishnah? Obviously, the reason why the Mishnah is worded that way must be to tell us the time of the claimant, the reason why in the ratio of that Mishnah, why the Chachamim are saying that it's possible not Tigul, where on the face of it they should have said it's kosher altogether, the reason must be Mishum the Ikka Kaimas and Minchas Kaita Zomilai. For the same reason, because when it comes to a Minchas Kaita, the Kaimas is identical. And therefore they're concerned that if you allow it in the first place, you're going to come to allow it in the second place. That's why they're stressing in the Mishnah that with a Minchas Kaita there is no other master, and therefore saying, so therefore, even when there is another master, namely the Levina, we're going to make a Gzeira and pass all this Mincha because people might confuse those two cases.
Because when there's only one master,
if he has in mind doing that, then I'll be tickled. That's tickled, yeah.
So
with the two master, and then we'll do the same. We won't make a possible. We won't make a tickle, but it will make, because you can't make them high cards for it on a thing that I bought on. But we can make a possible.
Wherever you see possible,
in general, with these dinim, yeah, when we say, yeah, not throughout. I mean, we've had many cases where a korban is possible and we are right. But regarding the dinim of tigul, yeah, in general, when we say possible, it means
yeah,
right.
When
we're
tigul and possible,
right.
And when it's possible, it's midrabanan. Like chutz memakom is possible and therefore
midrabanan. Yeah, right. No, but that's right. No, chutz memakom is
right.
Yeah.
So this is okay.
This is within tigul itself. This is within tigul itself, where it would have been tigul, if it were for these considerations, then we're saying it's possible. Yeah, it's only with this specific type of thing. The Rambam ends up asking indeed that like the second explanation of the first braisa that we brought, which is that all the avodas can combine, meaning, in other words, that even if he had in mind a half kezayis doing shchita and another half kezayis doing kabbalah, for example, it will combine and the korban will be tikkun. Mishnah said, nitmas achas min achalos, or echad min achzorim. Now let's talk about another related case. So this is not directly related, because we've been talking about tigul, but we mentioned in the previous Mishnah that you have the case where he shechted the two kvasim having in mind a thought of tigul regarding one of the chalos, and he said both chalos become tigul according to the chacham, and only one according to the beis. So now a similar machlokes regarding tumah. Nitmas achas, not Rav Yosi, but the same as Rav Yehuda. Nitmes achas min achalos or echad min achzorim. If one of the chalos or of the shei lachem or one of the stacks of lachem upon it becomes tamei, Rav Yehuda over shneim yetsu the beis hasiyosa. Rav Yehuda says that both of them have to be taken out to be burnt. She'ein korban sibur choluk, because a korban sibur cannot be divided in half. So we're going to discuss in the Gemara, we're going to discuss back and forth a little bit what that phrase means, but we're going to discuss a couple of possibilities what he means by that, but yeah, we're going to end up saying that that's what he means. The korban sibur is either all or nothing, basically. The chamim omim, no, the one that became tome, sure, it's tome, can't do anything with it. The hatoh, you're awful, but the one that's tohu, you go ahead and eat it. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, machloikas lifnei zrika. This machloikas is if the tumah of one challah happened before the blood of the kvasim was sprinkled, remember that the kvasim are the master of the se'alachim. But if the one challah of the se'alachim became tamei after the blood of the korbanos was sprinkled, so then everybody would agree, even Rabbi Huda, that we only go and burn the one that was tamei, and we go ahead and eat the one that's tamei. When they became tamei after the zrika. Because then at least the zrika was done perfectly properly. At the time when the zrika was done, everything was still good. So then the question is, well, if ne zrika b'maisrihi, in that case, what's the point, then why are they arguing about where it became tamei before the zrika? What's the underlying machlokes? Amar Rav Papa, b'tzit mirasa al achilas kamisrihi. The machlokes is like this. We know that the tzit, we've learned before in Vachim, we've learned sporadically in other places, that the tzit of the Kohen Gadol was mirasa, makes it acceptable, but the yevet, that a korban, that's tamei, that a korban can be brought to Tumah. It makes it the yevet is acceptable, hursa. It's not so much it takes the Tumah away, the Tumah is still there, but it's the not the iron if Avon HaKodshim, the expression is, that iron bears on himself, so to speak, the Avera involved in the Kodshim, and therefore makes the yevet that the korban is kosher. We have in various places in Shas, it talks about whether that's necessary, that you have the whole question of Tumah Dechoyah or Hutra of the Sibur. It makes a difference as far as that. When you say that a Korban Sibur is brought the Tumah, is it that you still, it's brought the Tumah only because the Sith is available to be Merasa, or is it that it's Dechoyah, or is it that it's Hutra, and you don't even need the Sith for that purpose? But anyway, okay, you have Okay. The question is, does the sith also help regarding when the part of the korban that's being eaten is tamei, whether it makes it that the zrika on that korban is okay? It won't mean that the part of tamei becomes mutter to eat. That you for sure have is still usher, and the sith can't help with that. We're asking, can the sith help if part of the korban that's meant to be eaten became tamei, that temporarily we should consider it not tamei to the extent that the zrika can still be done valid? That's the question. That's the question. We're the sixth mirata alachilas commission. The argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is, do we say that the sixth is effective only regarding what's offered on the Mizeach, or do we say it also has a certain effect regarding what's eaten, not to allow that part to be eaten, but at least to allow that we'll ignore the tumah of that part and allow the blood to be sprinkled. Rabbanan sabri sixth mirata alachilas, the Rabbanan will hold that it does work for that. That, in other words, what it is Tosfos teaches it out. We won't consider as if that one challah that became tameh, we won't consider as if it's lost. Where we learned before, as far as a mincha, we learned in the first parak that if part of a mincha becomes lost before the kremet is taken, then you can't burn the kremet on the mizeah. If we were to consider over here that the challah that's tameh is considered as if it's lost, then that would be why you can't sprinkle it. The Chachamim say the sith helps to that extent. We don't consider it as if it's lost. We consider it, it's there, fine, it's off limits to eat because it's tamei, but nevertheless, it's still there, and therefore we can sprinkle the blood of the kvasim on its tziach. Whereas Rabbi Huda disagrees with that concept. He says we have to consider the one that became tamei as if it's lost, as if it's burnt, therefore we only have one challah, and therefore we only, you can't sprinkle the blood of the kvasim for only one challah.
Oh, you have to do that.
You'd have to get two new challahs, yeah. Okay. I mean, mind you, we say in Pirkei Avos, we say that one of the nisim that happened in the Beit Mikdash is there was never a stool in the Omer or the Shtei Lechem or the Lechem upon him, and one reason why that's such a big net, so what? There was a stool in it, then you just prepare another one. The problem is it wouldn't be so simple. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, when we talk about the dinim of the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem upon him, you can't bake them on Yom Tov. The avoidance of the korban itself are derecha yomtiv, but the avoidance involving preparing the korban are not derecha yomtiv. Therefore, if you have the lechem upon him, the shtei lechem, became tamei or destroyed or what have you, you'd have a problem. You couldn't bring the lechem upon him that year.
The lechem
upon him is on the shulchan every Shabbat. Shtei lechem is two loaves of chametz bread that are brought on Shavuot. They're not offered on the Mizeach. No chametz is ever offered on the Mizeach. But you have the shnei kvasim with them that are shechted and the blood sprinkled on the Mizeach. And then the shtei chalos are given out among the kohanim. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow. That's the same.